recently on Montana Online Birders, an internet discussion group centered around birding in Montana, there's been an ongoing conversation centered around whether it is ethical to disclose the precise locations of falcons due to the threat of their being captured by falconers. The thread went predictably, which is to say the discussion flowed from the ethics of licensed falconers and morphing into the effects of bird banding and making comparisons between the two activities. While I was intrigued by the discussion, to me it seemed to overlook the 600-pound gorilla in the room. Namely, it is not local falconers who are licensed by the state who pose the greatest threat. Rather, it is the international illegal falcon trade that sends thousands of falcons to the Middle East. The illegal trade in falcons stems from the Arabs' world desire for the birds, which are viewed as status symbols. The young birds are taken from the wild and smuggled into these countries where they can fetch hundreds of thousands of dollars for the smugglers. These prices, of course, are representative of the near unlimited wealth of those members of Middle Eastern royal families and their ministers. This seems to be a massive motivation for criminal gangs looking for an easy payday. These illegal takings have had a marked effect on populations of several falcon species throughout the world. For example, saker falcon populations in China have fallen between 1,000 and 2,000 pairs since 1990. In Kazakhstan, the saker falcon population has plummeted from 2,000 pairs to around 200 breeding pairs. All of this loss is directly attributable to the illegal taking of falcons for export to the Middle East. Falcons are not the only victims of this insidious trade. Most of the trappers are brought in from Pakistan, where these same individuals have already decimated falcon populations in that country. These typically impoverished people are paid as little as a few dollars for their illicit efforts. The gangs maintain the trappers in dependent poverty, and therefore they will continue trapping falcons. Trappers often use a decoyed lager falcon to draw in the target bird. Once noosed, the falcon is stuffed into a thermos or tube for transport that can last nearly a week in some cases. This initial humiliation is but the first of many cruelties. Often, corrupt public officials are paid off to allow the unfettered exit of the birds from their respective countries. The level of corruption has reached the point where the illegal falcon trade has been characterized as not a person-to-person trade, but rather a government-to-government trade. Tradition once held that the falcons were to be passing birds that were coming through the Gulf regions, that were captured in the fall, and then released after the hunting season in the spring. However, this tradition is dying out as commercialism and its companion, clinging to possessions, has pervaded the Arabic world. The birds are now kept indefinitely, and they are more likely than not to die in captivity as their keepers regularly lack proper care, knowledge, and compassion. Arabic culture possesses a long-standing tradition of falconry. Owning a falcon is a sign of wealth and prestige. And with the influx of oil money, the disease of one-upsmanship has infected a society with a terminal diagnosis. It is no longer enough to have a single falcon over the winter and then release it. Now one has to have aviaries filled, in some cases hundreds of falcons. While the Arab world clings to its outmoded notions of masculinity and opulence, the rest of the world has begun to cry foul. In the wake of the international uproar over the illegal falcon trade, the UAE has actually gotten the sport classified as a World Intangible Heritage by UNESCO. The duplicity of the United Nations is staggering as they embrace the tradition with one arm and battle the illegal falcon trade through CITES with the other. CITES lists six falcon species as particularly impacted by the falcon trade: the Lanner falcon, saker falcon, lager falcon, Barbary falcon, peregrine falcon, gyr falcon. These species are deemed the most desirable for their prowess, trainability, and speed for those willing to possess them. CITES has produced a wonderful identification guide to this species, and there's a link below in the bottom bar. As an unfortunate side effect of falconry in the Arabic world, the Hubara bustard, a favored prey item, has been nearly extirpated from the Middle East, where it has been sought as an aphrodisiac. As a result, these hunters have been organizing falcon hunts in countries that still have healthy populations of Hubara bustards. Recently, a story out of Pakistan relayed the details of sheikhs coming into that country to hunt the birds, even though they are officially protected by that nation. But the hunt was not illegal. Pakistan issued 27 special permits to dignitaries from countries such as Abu Dhabi. The situation seems to be repeated the same old tired paradigm. If money can be made, the hell with the wildlife. If falconry continues with this species as the primary prey item, it will be extinct as a wild breeding bird very soon. So back to the original discussion. Should we disclose the locations of peregrine falcons and gyr falcons? My answer is, it's complicated. The more bird-friendly folks observe these species, the greater the collective desire will be to protect them. But the profit motive is always present, and in these economic times, many people are looking for any way to keep a roof over their heads. So I say, let's use our best discretion when communicating the locales of falcons amongst ourselves, birders that is, instead of being precise as the third utility pole from the intersection of Jones Road and First Avenue. Say something like south of town, and invite those interested in the bird to call or email you for more precise directions. This way we can share our sightings and protect the falcons at the same time.